action. Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Vaygash. Today is also Asarat Tevet. There's a lot of stuff to talk about in Parashat Vaygash, and most drashot and Divrei Torah that have to do with Vaygash usually have to do with the topic of the famous Beis Halevi, An Yosef, Oy Lanu Miyom Hadin, Oy Lanu Miyom HaTochacha. We have spoken about it in the past, but I actually want to focus on a different part of the parasha that I think is very worthwhile. So, towards the end of the parasha, when Yaakov and Yosef meet after 22 years, the Torah says a very interesting pasuk. It says like this: "Vayesor Yosef merkabto, vayala likrat Israel aviv goshna." Yosef himself, in his enthusiasm, in his excitement to see his father, he was the king, and yet he hitched his own horses, his own chariot. He wanted to go see Yaakov and Goshen. He appeared to him, and he fell on his neck, and he cried profusely on his neck. So Rashi HaKadosh says, who appeared to whom? You know, you have a test sometimes, mi amar lemi, right? So says Rashi HaKadosh, the two characters, the two main characters in the Pasuk, are Yaakov and Yosef. So who appeared to whom? Says Rashi HaKadosh, Vayira elav, Yosef nira el aviv. Okay? Yosef appeared to his father. The Sichot Musar, in his legendary way, points out, he says, I have two questions. First of all, didn't they both appear to one another? If they're seeing one another, they both appear to one another. So why is the Torah pointing out specifically, Vayira elav, Yosef nira li Yaakov, Yosef appeared to Yaakov? A, who cares? And B, you just told me that what? That he fell on his neck, right? And they cried. If he fell on his neck, that means he appeared to him. So why is Rashi pointing out, breaking news, Yosef appeared to Yaakov and not the other way around? And who cares? So there's a lot of things that have to be understood over there. When Rashi says something, there's depth. So let's understand. Double tie, listen carefully. He says, if you were Yosef, the most beloved child of Yaakov Avinu, for better or for worse, and you didn't see your father that you love so much, it was his father, it was Rabbo Amufak, right? All of the Torah, Rashi says in Parashat Vayeshev, that all of the Torah that Yaakov Avinu got from Yeshivat Shem Ve'Evir passed it to Yosef, okay? He didn't see his father for 22 years. He was in Eirvat Ha'aretz, the worst place in the world. And finally, you get a chance after everything is said and done. You better believe that Yosef had a tremendous urge and yearning to be reunited with his father. But on the other hand, you also better believe that as much as Yosef wanted to see Yaakov, Yaakov wanted to see him too. And we see several psukim in this week's parasha that show how much, right, Vayomer Yisrael amuta apam. He says, oh, now I can die. He says all sorts of things. He didn't believe him. He says, "Amuta apam acharei ra'oti et panecha." Now I can finally die in peace now that I see you. Yaakov is no less excited to see Yosef. Yosef a tzaddik. This is the way tzaddikim work. When it comes time for a mitzvah, in spite of his own personal wishes and desires, there's nothing more than he wanted to do at this point than to see his father. And yet, when he finally reunited with his father, Vayira elav, Yosef nira li Yaakov. Yosef says, Abba, I'm here. I'm not coming to see you because I want to see you. I am making myself appear to you. He wanted his mitzvah, kibud av, to be so complete that in spite of his own desires, the fact that I'm here right now, Abba, it's so that you can see me, not necessarily that I can see you. You understand what that means? He was able to channel that natural desire of 22 years worth of longing to see the father that he loved so much. And he was able to say, Abba, I'm here now, but it's for you. So that, Vayira elav, I made myself available so that you can see me. That's how tzaddikim do things. No ulterior motive. Just to have a pure l'shem shamayim shibur. You know, we find a similar idea at the end of Parashat Yitro. The Torah says, we know that one of the reasons why Nadav Avihu were chayav mita, it says over there at the end, by when the Torah was given, ויחזו את האלוהים ויאכלו וישתו. They were on such a high level, Nadav Avihu. They were they call them Atzile Bnei Israel, the royalty of Am Israel. Ve'el Atzile Bnei Israel lo shalach yado ויחזו את האלוהים ויאכלו וישתו. Nadav Avihu were able to see to a certain extent, were able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at the same moment they were eating and drinking. Says the Midrash, they became Chayav Mita as a result of that. They're on such a high level to be able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and during that same moment, you allow yourself to eat and drink, which means you're taking personal benefit while you're perceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a big number. That is something that, at the end of the day, caused them to be Chayav Mita. Rabotai, listen to this. We also find that Yosef HaTzadik acted in this way, of which the Sichot Musar calls Shlemut HaMa'aseh, completion of one's actions, which means no ulterior motive, purity of action. He says, we find in last week's parasha, it says, Vayakir Yosef et Echav, Vehem lo yikiru. When the brothers came before Yosef, he recognized them, and they didn't recognize him. Everybody knows the famous Rashi. Yeah. Now listen to this. Rashi HaKadosh says, what does it mean that he recognized them? Rashi says, "V'shem Amidrash, k'shenimseru biyado, hikir shehem echav berichim alehim." When he realized they were his brothers, okay, and he had the power, he had the option of causing them harm, he had mercy on them, and he treated them nicely. That's what Rashi says. Rabotai says the Sichot Musar. Just think for a second. Really? Is that what's going on in that pasuk over there? When the Torah says that Yosef recognized the brothers, did he treat them compassionately? No. Yeah, it says vayitnakir alehim. He started up with them. He started messing with them. He threw them into jail. He says, you're spies. Made them crazy. So what's Rashi saying? That when he had the chance, he had rachmanut on them. What does that even mean? Yeah, you go through these Rashis and just, you have to, what is Rashi saying? What do you mean he had rachmanut on them? He didn't have rachmanut on them. The Torah says beferush, that was mitnaker. Yeah, he was very tough with that. So what's pshat? Says Rechaim Shmuel Levitz in Sichot Musar, says something beautiful. Says apparently, the whole time that Yosef HaTzadik was acting tough with the brothers, it was all because he felt a responsibility to bring them kapara for what they did to him. He knew they needed it. And he wanted them to, and by the way, last week's parasha, he did all sorts of things for them to realize that it was him. He kept on dropping clues. You know that? What? That what?
Basically, you got a coupon on saying that you got a spy, you got this, that's the difference, they wouldn't realize.
I know, but he kept on dropping clues. You realize. What about? You know, Yosef HaTzadik was speaking Egyptian. He wasn't speaking Lashon HaKodesh. The Torah says in last week's parasha, Kiham Melitz Benotam. Right, there was an interpreter. Everyone, who was the interpreter? Rashi says, who was it? Menashe. Yeah, okay. How old was he? Maybe 7, 8. If you were the Shevatim, wouldn't you be scratching your head? How's there a 7-year-old Egyptian kid that speaks Hebrew in the middle of Mitzrayim? How's he speaking Hebrew? Hey, okay. Then what? And then what? And then you have the Torah even says that when they came to eat lunch with him, right? He sat them. He said, "Habechor kivchorato ve'atzayit kitzurato." And they find out, "Vaitmehu ishadachi." What's not? Why? Because he had the goblin. He's looking at the thing. Zata atatashepo. Right? You sit here and you sit there. And then all of a sudden, you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and then Naphtali, Sachar, Zvulun, Gad, Asher, all the zik, and they're looking at each other. Wow, pretty good goblin, right? And he put, and on the table also, he put Binyamin right next to him. Huh? And he said, "You don't have a mother. I don't have a mother." Everything, he kept on dropping clues. And what? He's setting them up. He wants them to understand what you did was wrong. You did something that lefi darkechem, lefi godlechem, based on your level, it was inappropriate. He's setting them up to do teshuvah. So even when he's acting tough with them, He's trying to get them to do teshuvah. And during that time, why does Rashi say that he's having a nechmanut? You better believe, like the Mesilat Yesharim says, revenge is sweet. He has them now. And he's being mean. And he's being tough. And he's throwing them in jail. Naturally, even the tiniest inkling of revenge is sweet entering the heart of Yosef would be the most natural thing in the world. And Yosef at Tzadik, the Torah says, nevertheless, even though he's being tough, it was only what? It was a show. It was a spectacle. It wasn't real. Deep down in his heart, it was from a place of love. Yosef at Tzadik, Baal HaShlemut. He was so complete, so pure in all the actions that he did, that even when he was being mean to them in order to serve as a catalyst to bring them b'tshuvah, he didn't have any bad feelings, any feelings of revenge, or you see, now I got you. On the contrary, you see in this week's parasha, after he revealed himself, and they were scared. Why were they scared? They were scared for their life. He could have killed them. That's it. They thought it was game over. Who's the one comforting them? Who's the one telling them, don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me, it was all for the good, it wasn't you. Yeah? Yosef HaTzadik is coming then. The same, they threw him in the pit. He could have died. They threw him there and he says, don't worry. Hakol b'seder. Elohim chashava letova. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought it for the good. We find something similar, Botai, when Shimshon HaGibor was bound. This was his last battle against the Plishtim. He's already bound against the pillars. Yeah? They cut his hair. They blinded him. He was powerless. He says, one more tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says what? Zochreni na v'chazekeni na ach ha'pa'am hazeh v'inakma nekam achat mishte'ina mipelishtim. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me strength one more time. One more time, Hashem. How many Pelishtim did he kill in his lifetime? Tons. Hundreds of thousands. He says, Hashem, I made a mistake. Give me power one more time. And he says, let me seek vengeance from the Plishtim for both of my eyes that they poked in. Says Rashi HaKadosh, Zochreni na, Zechor 20 shana sheshafatti et Yisrael velo amarti leechad meim ha'avel limakel mimakom limakom. Remember the 20 years that I judged Am Yisrael truthfully, honestly, and not once during that time did I ever ask anybody, do me a favor, carry my stick, carry something for me. Never asked any Jew for a favor. Why does it say, Nikam achat mishte einai, right? Uschar shmiya, anach li la'olam abba, v'chan prali schar ayin afal. And Shimshon was telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, reward me, give me my reward in this world by defeating the Plishtim for one of my eyes, and the reward for the other eye that they poked out, leave me for olam abba. Rabotai, what do you see from Shimshon's thing? Apparently, if this was the tefillah that he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then what happened at the end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his strength. What happened? He knocked, right? He literally brought down the house. And the Navi says that he killed more Plishtim in his death that one time than he did in his entire life. Rabotai, look at the tefillah that Shimshon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, remember me the 20 years that I judged Am Yisrael and I never asked for a favor. Apparently, with all that judgment of Am Yisrael, he was shofet. Yeah, one of the shoftim for Am Yisrael for 20 years. If he would have asked for a favor, if he would have asked somebody, carry my stick, carry my bag, go shopping for me, whatever it is, apparently Hashem would have answered him.
Really?
Would not have answered him. Hashem answered him specifically because of what he said, I never asked anybody for a favor. Why? You ever wonder, Rabotai, what's wrong with taking interest, with ribit? You know, the Navi says in Yechezkel, V'chai lo yichir. The Midrash says this is a reference to a person who loans money on interest. The Midrash says that a person who loans money on interest will not merit chiyat ha-metim. He will die and he will never get up. Midrash miforash. Yeah? All the poskim bring it down. I ask you a question. What's so wrong about loaning money on interest? I can't make money? Is it a sin to make parnasa? Isn't interest a form of parnasa? What's wrong? Rabotai, listen very carefully. Says the Sichot Musar, when you're loaning money to somebody, that means he's falling on hard times. Nobody ever borrows money because he's rich. People borrow money because they need, you know, they need help. What are you talking about? In general, that's not the case. In general, people who borrow money, it's because they need it. And listen to this. When you lend money to a person, we know, according to most poskim, in kesef talveh et ami, loaning money to a person, to a fellow Jew in need, is mitzvat aseh min haTorah. Mitzvat aseh min haTorah mamash, to loan money to a person. Chesed, Hashem says, you have a chesed that comes your way, and you are going to derive personal benefit from that chesed. That's exactly what ribit is. Taking kickback, taking personal benefit from that chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent your way. The chesed is no longer pure. That's why ribit, that's why loaning money on interest is such a grave sin. So much so that the Chachamim say, no tchiyat ametim for that person. Why? You take, now it's no longer pure. You've defiled, you've adulterated that kindness. That zechut that you had, you made it dirty now. We have to strive. Yosef HaTzadik was the quintessential example for how to strive. When we do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it pure. Make sure there's no ulterior motives. And guess what? We're human beings, which make us the kings of ulterior motives. We're always looking for benefit, kickback, what's in it for me. That's not the way the Torah operates. The Torah wants us to operate, at least look at Yosef HaTzadik. Everything pure. When it comes to Yaakov Avinu, I'm here for you, Abba. Even though I have my own personal wishes, it's all for you. With the Shvatim, he's doing it purely to Shem Shammai. Everything the greatest tzaddikim and Am Yisrael ever did was always purely Lashem Shammai. It's not an easy thing. Huh? That what? Oh, that was the Rebbe Anim Spilak and the Rebbe over there. Rabotai, this is a very big, it's a tall order. It's not easy. It takes a lifetime of work for a person to be able to achieve shlemut, for a person to achieve completion and perfection in his Avodat Hashem. And everything we do, all the Torah we learn, all the tefillot we pray, all the musar, all the ma'asim tovim, everything is in order to get to one place, to shlemut, to perfection. That's why we're here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as imperfect beings. Our job in this world is to take ourselves from being imperfect beings. It's very hard to be perfect, but to perfect ourselves as much as possible, because that's why we're here. If a person comes to this world for 70, 80, 90, 120 years and doesn't work on his mitzvot, the Gaon Mevilna writes and you get it, you can do everything else. You can finish Shas, you can do everything else. If you don't fix your mitzvot, lama lichaim, wasted life. Wasted life. If you don't, person doesn't fix it. And everything that we do, the Torah that we learn, the tefillot, the ma'asim tovim, the mitzvot, everything that we do is to help us in that path of fixing our midot and coming to the completion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. Everything is there to help us along the way. It's road signs. The worst kind of person is a person who learns and does mitzvot and davens and everything, and he's still a pira adam. He's still a wild animal. That's, what's that worth? Kol tamid chacham she'en bo da'at nevela tova emet. The worst kind of tamid chacham, a person who doesn't have derech eretz, doesn't fix his midot, what's your Torah worth? What's the point? If a person, you have to use the Torah as a refinery. You know what a refinery is? You ever try to take gas? Yeah, you go to the gas station. You know how gas comes out of the ground? It's crude oil. You ever try to fill up your car with crude oil? No, it doesn't work. Yeah, it's not, the car's not going to run. The crude oil that comes out of the ground, they have to get it out of the ground. They have to pump it out of the ground. And then what? They have to refine it into benzene, to gas. Airplanes, they need other kinds of gas. That's the same thing. Rabotai, we're in crude form. Hashem sends us refineries like the Torah, mitzvot, ma'asim tovim, tefillah. We have to turn ourselves from oil into gas. Because otherwise, yeah, what do you care? Just put some oil in the car. And not only that, even if you put gas, you ever try to put diesel into your car instead of benzene? I had a friend who did that once. I had a friend, he wasn't from around here, and he rented a car, and he made a mistake. He didn't pay attention. He went to the gas station. It was a regular car, and he filled up the car with, instead of regular gas, you know, 87, whatever it was, he filled it up with diesel. Diesel is different. It's for trucks. You know what you have to do? It shuts down the car. Doesn't turn, the car doesn't turn on. And then you have to pump it out. You have to pay like tons of money. It kills the car, kills the transmission. That's what happens when you fill yourself with the wrong thing. Hashem said, but they're both oil. It both comes from oil. Yeah, they're both oil. You can kill the car. And diesel is more expensive. He paid more. Now he says, not only did he kill the car, but he paid more to kill the car. A shock. Anyway, Bikitsur, so what are you saying, Tanin? He was saying Kriyat Shema not to Yosef. He was saying Kriyat Shema because it was Zman Kriyat Shema. He was saying Kriyat Shema to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly that. I mean, he was telling, he said to Yosef, he says, as much as I love you, hold it. I got to talk to God.
So, Chacham, why didn't Yosef say Kriyat Shema?
That's another very big question. So there's, I saw other Mefarshim. It's a very big question. How come Yosef didn't say Kriyat Shema if it was Zman Kriyat Shema? So it could be Yosef already said, or it could be it wasn't a Zman Kriyat Shema of Mitzvat Aser Kriyat Shema. Maybe it was a Chovat Kriyat Shema of Hoda'ata Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's different. I saw different Mefarshim. So I thank you all for listening. Shabbat Shalom. Easy fast. Get ready for Shabbat. Today, everything, by the way, everything's mutar. Showering, haircut, shave, brushing your teeth is also mutar.
Music? Is music mutar?
Maze?
Music.
No, music on a fast day, you shouldn't listen to music. Not listen to music on a fast day, but no, go prepare for Shabbat. Shabbat is about 4 hours from now. And Bezat Hashem Tzom Kal. It should be Bezat Hashem. Next fast day that comes along, it should be Yom Kippur.